שלום, אנחנו נקרא מתוך קטעים נבחרים מהמקורות בנושא.
We're reading chosen passages. Chosen passages from the light excels the darkness. We're starting with item number 15. You can ask questions live on CAP TV. The light excels the darkness.
We learn with you that there are two ways to attain the goal, which is predetermined and is mandated for the whole of creation and each and every created being, which is adhesion to the Creator completely and wholly. And so this creature is called Adam, man, according to its final role, to be dome, or similar to the Creator. And so, whether we like it or not, the thought of creation must come to fruition, and it directs us either through the way of Torah, as we learn, or through the way of suffering, the path of suffering. And the thing is that the path of Torah and the path of suffering, well, there's a big difference between them, and we're between the two. The path of suffering, which is awakened within us through all kinds of corporeal states, deficiencies. And these deficiencies, perhaps unconsciously, on our side, they guide us, direct us towards the purpose of creation, but we don't know how we, where we roll towards, why, for what purpose or what goal, nothing. Just like a small animal which receives blows and problems and flees, runs every time it sees a problem, and it jumps in the opposite direction. And that's how we advance. We never know where to. It's never for good, but out of lack of choice, in order to flee suffering. But nevertheless, in the meantime, we discover deficiencies. These deficiencies are revealed from above. These deficiencies are, well, they are formed between those two states, our state and the desirable state. And that's how we advance. Meaning, the main thing is to feel a deficiency and to advance. And there are deficiencies which don't come to us through suffering from nature, blind nature, but rather because we awakened them. As David, King David said, I awaken the dawn. And then we awaken these sufferings, the dawn, the darkness, the deficiency, our inclination towards change to the purpose of creation, which is opposite to our nature, but we do stabilize this inclination, which is opposite to our nature, through the study, through the reforming light, by exertion. We want deficiency, a deficiency to be revealed within us, which perhaps is uncomfortable, but is deliberate and goal-oriented. And so we're happy, and we go towards it. And then the path which we walk in order to increase, gather this deficiency and advance towards the purpose of creation is called the path of Torah, the path of flight. And between the two, Baal Sulam explains to us in the free choice article, no, the article of freedom, the freedom between those two paths, that of Torah and that of suffering, we walk the path of God. And this is where we are always, to save up some time, to quicken, accelerate the times, how to advance correctly, how to enter this work where we are already in command of the forces of creation and we govern them through annulment to the power of bestowal, which is the creator, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the advantage of flight from within darkness is permanent. It's always like that. But either we want it to happen so, or we are unconsciously in that, and we just wait for it to happen to us. Throughout the 24 hours of the day, we can be working very intensively towards the goal, very purposefully examining ourselves in respect to the purpose of creation and to form a correct deficiency for its attainment. And if not, then it's completed through the path of suffering. And the path of suffering is very slow. It's completely on a different plane, the plane of this world. And so we can see, according to the rate of progress, according to what happens to us every day, every moment, what path we're on, the path of Torah or the path of suffering. And of course, on the path of Torah, we need a society, arvut, support, generalized support to feel how each one of us and all of us together are drawn, pulled forward or pushed. I obligate the friends, they obligate me. Or we get an awakening from all other kinds of reasons, other kinds of corporeal factors, which it's obvious to us that this is also in order to advance us towards the purpose of creation, but still they are not spiritual things, and therefore the rate of progress is the corporeal rate. And so it's very worthwhile to check through what we actually advance, in what rate, how quickly, and to be in I awaken the dawn. Let's see what the great ones tell us.
As the light excels the darkness, passage number 15, chosen passages. It's from Shamati 19, what is the Creator hates the bodies and the work. Item 15. If the Creator gives some luminescence from above, the will to receive surrenders and annuls like a candle before a torch. Then one has no labor anyhow, since one no longer needs to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, coercively, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load. As it is written, ye that love the Lord hate evil. It means that the love of God extends only from the place of evil. In other words, to the extent that one has hatred for evil, meaning that one sees how the will to receive obstructs one from achieving the completeness of the goal, to that extent one needs to be imparted the love of God. However, if one does not feel that one has evil, one cannot be granted the love of God. This is because he has no need for it, as he already has satisfaction in the work. As we have said, one must not be angry when he has work with the will to receive, that it obstructs him in the work. One would certainly be more satisfied if the will to receive had been absent from the body, meaning that it would not bring its questions to man obstructing him in the work of keeping the Torah and mitzvot. However, one should believe that the obstruction of the will to receive in the work come to him from above. One is given the force to discover the will to receive from above because there is room for work precisely when the will to receive awakens. Then one has close contact with the Creator to help one turn the will to receive to be and word to bestow. And one should believe that from that extends contentment to the Creator, from one's praying to Him. to draw him near by dvikut, adhesion, called equivalence of form, discerned as the annulment of the will to receive, to be in order to bestow. The Creator says about that, my sons defeated me. That is, I give you the will to receive, and you ask of me to give you a will to bestow instead.
Read again, please. Again.
If the Creator gives one some luminescence from above, the will to receive surrenders and annuls like a candle before a torch.
Towards that desire he receives from the heavens. It's not that he surrenders. Perhaps he surrenders in order to ascend and work, but he surrenders towards what he receives.
Then one has no labor anyhow, since one no longer needs to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven coercively.
Forcefully, meaning that he doesn't see that it's as the will and not above the will.
As an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load, as it is written, those who love the Lord hate evil. It means that the love of God extends only from the place of evil. In other words, to the extent that one has hatred for evil, meaning that one sees how the will to receive obstructs one from achieving the completeness of the goal, to that extent one needs to impart the love of God, to be imparted the love of God.
Love can't exist without the other side of the coin, hatred. They can only exist together, one opposite the other.
However, if one does not feel that one has evil, one cannot be granted the love of God.
Meaning hatred towards the ego, our ego, towards the evil inclination, is the opposite of the love of God. And if one exists, the other exists, and vice versa.
This is because he has no need for it, as he already has satisfaction in the work. As we have said, one must not be angry when he has work with the will to receive, that it obstructs him in the work. One would certainly be more satisfied if the will to receive had been absent from the body, meaning that it would not bring its questions to man, obstructing him in the work of keeping Torah and mitzvot. However, one should believe that the obstruction of the will to receive in the work come to him from above. One is given the force to discover the will to receive from above because there is room for work precisely when the will to receive awakens. Then one has close contact with the Creator to help one turn the will to receive to be in order to bestow. And one should believe that from that extends contentment to the Creator, from one's praying to Him to draw Him near by dvikut, called equivalence of form, discerned as the annulment of the will to receive, to be in order to bestow. The Creator says about that, my sons defeated me. That is, I gave you the will to receive, and you ask of me to give you a will to bestow instead.
Questions. First of all, we need to think of that state. We all went through a state called a Congress. What happens now? We need to examine it. Yes? To be experienced. What are we going through now? Everyone or each one individually? In order to know all of these processes, which repeat afterwards. So it may be that what I'm hearing now, this text, I've heard it several times already. Once, it was clear to me what's written here. I understood it and felt it. I was impressed by it. Now I hear, and every word is for me like a stone, like something completely flavorless. Maybe so. We are in such different states, and to receive all of these discernments and to see what they're about. Don't be scared by it. Or this is what we go through. We need to understand that this also exists in reality. What do we learn from this text? The relationship between love and hate, the desire to serve the Creator and the desire to serve our ego. Yes? From the awakening that comes from above and the awakening that comes from below, from us. What does it mean to receive the light of the Kingdom of Heaven, to accept the burden of the Kingdom of Heaven? Why? What for? For what reason? How can we accelerate or quicken our state? And especially in states which are flavorless relatively, to respect these states, to see in them an opportunity to awaken this awakening from below, so that it will truly be our work from our state on our account. If there is awakening, then I am excited and as if I want to soar. And if I have a bad awakening instead of a good one, then I also awaken in order to get rid of this bad thing. And those two forms, the plus and the minus, it comes to us through an awakening from above, and then it's no problem. We, in some manner, awaken. We somehow respond. But what can we do if we're at zero, as I see most of you today? How do we awaken from zero? Yes? Right, Miron? Yes. So, discuss that. For a few minutes, in a few minutes, you can reach an awakening with a great desire, great deficiency for the purpose of creation above reason from this. And please.
We, in no time, instantaneously reach a state of itpalut, an awakening, because if we only help each other to remember that it's precisely the state of being in zero itpalut is truly an invitation from the Creator to us to draw us closer.
It's all about decision. We have to decide that we're not surrendering. We're just awakening internally and also externally, awakening each other, and we continue from that point on. That's why in the 10, in the society, there will always be those who are a bit more awakened, and those who feel awake. It's their duty to project this outwards and to ask for the rest of the society to awaken.
The thing of being in a state of zero, it means that one can't awaken himself. He doesn't have it inside of him. He needs an environment to support, that will support the spark that will awaken it in anyone who loses the feeling.
Awakening, meaning, now, when we hold a workshop and the microphone comes to me, I feel an awakening, I feel some responsibility, I need to awaken you, and I also, I'm being watched. And we need to generate as many sensations such as that, and these kinds of games, as we play with children, we have to awaken one another like that. We can do it through just discussing things, asking questions, many different ways. We just have to commit to it.
Yeah, it's the Creator playing with us. He is the one creating this situation, allowing us to play and act despite all these states. And this is how we'll help each other and succeed.
And we ask only for the power of, to prevail come to us, and not within the desire, within the will, but for that concealment to remain, not to disappear, and so that the friends will be able to continue working in that direction towards connection, because it's especially there that we generate a lack for the revelation of the Creator.
We have to remember that everything comes from the Creator, and it's meant in order to bring us towards adhesion with Him. Everything comes from Him, the darkness, the awakening, the everything. We need to remember that and understand that it serves the goal.
The zero is within our ego, but if we are integrated into the ten, then it's not a zero. It's a state where it's the advantage of light from within darkness. The darkness comes, and we identify the light within it, and the ten progresses onwards, because the ten is a spiritual formation, and I myself alone is truly a zero.
An awakening is an awakening. I don't think that it's something that we should deal with at all. Internal awakening, external awakening. An awakening is that now I desire to do something for you, to awaken you something, and something that I have to do. Just awaken the will to receive towards the goal.
And on the other hand, let it be a zero within the will to receive. And we are taught, being taught, how to rise above these zeros and to reach connection above it.
And it's not that we expect that the result will... It's not that now we're playing, that we're in an awakening and it'll come and that's that. What's important is that we have to remain in the inner demand, not the external impression we have in the will to receive, but to be impressed by the state that now we have the opportunity to awaken towards the Creator.
Rav, how do we, from a state of lowliness, awaken ourselves towards the greatness of the goal, the Creator, the group, and so on, but maintain those two points? Meaning, as we were before in the beginning, we maintain this state, this determination of that state, and develop the upper point so that the gap between the two will yield longing. How do we do this? How do we keep ourselves between those two points? Please go on. Is the question clear? Not completely? All right. I started as a sack with air in it. Something, you know. And now, through the environment, the study, the reforming light, I don't know, all the available means, I awaken myself towards the greatness of the purpose, the goal, the group, the teacher, the Creator, greatness, 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 right? I awaken. I receive not just air, but I want to receive these discernments of the greatness of the goal, of the path, and so on. So let's say I get them. I have air, I have spirit, I have some kind of, I have vigor. How do I maintain these two points? I don't fall from one point to the other, even though it's high, lofty, and beautiful, and so on. But how do I maintain these two points? Please.
By ascribing everything to the Creator, that both the states, both points come from Him and unite in Him, both having the same goal to disclose Him.
It becomes us, you could say. we need to be those who maintain this state above our personal perspective and the group perspective. If the 10 works towards the creator, then each friend, every friend in the 10 doesn't fall into his own personal sensation.
I agree. It's something having to do with our mutual work. And then, as a result of our mutual commitment, we start working, and the 10, it necessitates me to work through envy and other things, and this way I also feel my state where I am.
We help support one another and begin to love this state, this polarity, where I am lowly and the greatness of the Creator is what holds all of reality together, including our lowliness.
And it's possible if we ask for the Kli in which the greatness of the Creator is revealed, which is the Kli of the complete 10, that we pay our attention on which we focus all the time, and know that the difference between the individual feeling a person has and the feeling of the 10 creates the effect.
I think we only need to look at one another and ask for one another, and from that the gap will always remain, because it's as if something goes through me, good, bad, the sense, and by removing the focus from there and placing it on the 10, then both of these planes coexist.
The attention of everyone in the 10 has to be focused on, once one gets the awakening, how can he return it to the group? How, at every given moment that he is aware of the Creator, can he give it back to the center of the 10 for everyone to enjoy?
Yes, we also should make sure that each and everyone is directed towards the Creator, in every state, to be directed towards the Creator. And then we will use what we have, and God bless, we got a lot. This daily task that we have is exactly that. I don't feel like it, I don't want it, but I have this task, this mission. I'm like a sack full of dust, but I begin.
We have to ask for the force in order to be able to bear the situation. And this is only something that we can do together when we ask together.
Rav. So we determine that the point of where I'm a sack, that's me, and the other point, the awakening I receive from the group, it's the group. I integrate with the group, and the bigger this gap is between the two, I am zero, and these many, many ones, yes, are ahead of me. That's how I integrate into the group, and accordingly I have the deficiency, the longing, the prayer, and accordingly a vessel for adhesion with the Creator. Good. Let's continue.
Item 16, Rabash, Article 21. What is it that the Torah was given from the darkness in the work? When one wants to come closer to the Creator, meaning to use the vessels of bestowal, but cannot because the body does not agree to it, since the body extends from the vessels of reception, one feels that the world has darkened for him, because he understands that if he is unable to obtain vessels of bestowal, he will never be awarded with the upper light, which is the light of the benefit, which is the light to benefit his creations. It follows that this darkness which one feels when unable to attain the vessels of bestowal by his own strength makes him need someone to help him obtain these vessels. And according to the rule of there is no light without a vessel, there is no filling without a deficiency, it follows that he has acquired a need for the light of the Torah. As the sages said, I've created the evil inclination, I created the Torah, spice. It follows that the Torah was given specifically to one who has a need, and this need is called darkness. It is, as is written, the Torah was given out of darkness, meaning that one who feels darkness in his life because he lacks the vessels of bestowal is qualified for the reception of the Torah. So that through the Torah, the light in her, which reforms him, he will gain the vessels of bestowal through which he will be qualified to receive the good abundance and pleasure. It follows that the Torah was given specifically to those who are in a state where they feel that the will to receive governs them. And they cry out of the darkness that they need the Torah to bring them out of the darkness, which is the governance of the vessels of reception upon which there was a tzimtzum and concealment, so that no light may shine in that place. And that place is the reason and need for the reception of the Torah.
Shuv.
Again.
Item 16. When one wants to come closer to the Creator, meaning to use the vessels of bestowal, but cannot, because the body does not agree to it, since the body extends from the vessel of reception, one feels that the world has darkened for him, because he understands that if he is unable to obtain vessels of bestowal, he will never be awarded with the upper light, which is the light of to benefit his creations. It follows that this darkness which one feels when unable to obtain the vessels of bestowal by his own strength makes him need someone to help him obtain these vessels. And according to the rule of there is no light without a vessel, there is no filling without a deficiency, it follows that he has acquired a need for the light of the Torah. As the sages said, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah spice. It follows that the Torah was given specifically to one who has a need.
And the Torah itself evokes this deficiency in him, this need. If not for the Torah, the evil inclination would not have been created, and there would not have been a need by the evil inclination for the Torah.
And this need is called darkness. It is, as is written, the Torah was given out of darkness. Meaning that one who feels darkness in his life because he lacks the vessels of bestowal is qualified for the reception of the Torah, so that through the Torah, the light in her, which reforms him, he will gain the vessels of bestowal through which he will be qualified to receive the good abundance and pleasure. It follows that the Torah was given specifically to those who are in a state where they feel that the will to receive governs them. And they cry out of the darkness that they need the Torah to bring them out of the darkness, which is the governance of the vessels of reception, upon which there was a tzimtzum and concealment, so that no light may shine in that place. And that place is the reason and need for the reception of the Torah.
Question. What is the correct need for the reception of the Torah? Not every deficiency, every need is worthy of receiving the Torah. What is the deficiency which is worthy of the reception of the Torah? Please.
A deficiency for the kli of bestowal, for us to have a kli of bestowal.
A lack for a connection, because we want to receive the light in order to use it within the ten.
When we try to awaken each other, at least this is what I feel, usually these actions come from within the will to receive, the ego. But after these actions, Different discernments awaken. Where am I coming from? Why am I doing it? And this is how we start working. We start awakening each other regardless of where we start doing it from. And correspondingly, we get the opportunity to scrutinize things.
The darkness at first is because I cannot bestow. For that, I need the Torah. And then the Torah comes and gives the darkness, gives me a darkness, which is the place. Continue, friends.
Which is the place directed at in direction of the Creator, atop the concealment that doesn't annul the concealment, that the concealment that's revealed, it's not in the will to receive, but it is directed to create a new place in the ten in which the Creator is revealed, for whom we do all this work.
A lack for the revelation of the Creator within the ten to ask for us. This is a worthy lack.
If it's my own individual chisaron, then it's not worthy of receiving the light. If it's a chisaron that comes from a true prayer for correction, for correcting the world through the tens, then it comes.
I want my intention to change. I want to work for the friends. When I feel that I want to work for the Creator, and I find that I'm working for myself, there we have a need for the reception of the Torah.
I awaken the dawn, and the light helps me do that. The good dawn, the good darkness that one can use.
Where even us giving contentment to the Creator with our work, now we don't want to feel that. We want some such concealment on the will to receive, such that all of the pleasure that we feel will be in overcoming towards bestowal.
Bestowal, on the one hand, is that we want to discover the Creator. So, in that, there's both the Creator and the friends.
Yes, and every time we need to refresh that. It's not a static state. It's as if we have this template and we need to throw it away and to start anew, because the desire grew and changed and the ten grew and changed and the connection strengthened and requires more prayer.
It's like a steady process. I start working towards the friend from the darkness because we're obligated, and then I suddenly discover who I'm working for, and by that I draw the reforming light.
The connection between us is the place where we can use the Torah in order to receive the correct need, the correct deficiency, the correct darkness.
And therefore, the darkness is really our savior, and we'd like to keep it. Item 17, Bala Sulam, letter 14. It is written, come to Pharaoh. It is the holy divinity in disclosure from the words, and let the hair of the woman's head go loose, as written in the Zohar. The thing is that to the extent that the children of Israel thought that Egypt were enslaving them and impeding them from worshiping the Creator, to that extent they truly were in the exile in Egypt. And the Redeemer's only work was to reveal to them that there was no other force involved here, that I am not a messenger, for there is no other force but Him. This was indeed the light of redemption as explained in the Passover. This is what the Creator gave to Moses in the verse, "Come to Pharaoh," meaning unite the truth for the entire approaching the king, for the entire approaching of the king of Egypt is only to Pharaoh to disclose the holy divinity. This is why he said, "For I have hardened his heart," etc., that I may place these signs of mine within him. In spirituality, there are no letters, as I have already elaborated on before. All the multiplication in spirituality relies on the letters that are sucked from the materiality of this world, as in, and the creator of darkness. There are no additions or novelties here, but the creation of darkness, the Merkava, chariot, that is suited to disclose that the light is good. It follows that the Creator Himself hardened His heart. Why? Because I need letters. This is the meaning of that I may place these signs of mine within Him, and that you may tell, that you may know that I am the Lord. Explanation. Once the letters were accepted, meaning when you understand that I gave and troubled for you, as in, do not move from behind me, for you will thoroughly keep the Ahuaim, posterior side for me, for my name, then she will make her absence and fill the letters. The qualities will become sefirot, since before the filling they are called qualities, and upon their fulfillment for the best they are called sefirot, sapphire, illuminating the world from one end to the other. This is the meaning of that you may tell. I need all that for the explanation, meaning, and you shall know that I am the Lord and not a messenger. This is the meaning of the fiftieth gate, which cannot appear unless the 49th face of pure and impure appear one opposite the other, in which the righteous falls before the wicked.
What do I gain by revealing the Creator within the Pharaoh? What do I gain by discovering the Creator within the Pharaoh? Please.
What I gain is the revelation that there's none else besides Him, that He's the one doing everything in reality, and that there's a goal and everything's meant to serve it.
I gain from this the ability to work during the time of concealment and to enter into bestowal. If not for that, I'd fall into the will to receive and won't be able to advance towards equivalence of form. Yes, we gain the deficiency for bestowal.
Yeah, all these things eventually turn into the Kel, the Creator.
Correct. I gain that I can now continue to work, and without demanding that Pharaoh now turns into some kind of filling, but rather, even though it now prevents from me, denies me the power to bestow, I still have this end of a rope by which I can continue to work and overcome despite this disruption of the Pharaoh.
This is what we call the letters of work, where despite the darkness, despite the burning of heart, a person works, but because he knows that the Creator is the one.
Love. So what is the meaning of the exile of Egypt? So what is the meaning of the exile of Egypt in respect to Pharaoh and the Creator? Please.
It's the revelation of the desire. It's the main part of the desire that is revealed. And that gives an opportunity for correction later on.
The state of the exile of Egypt comes about when we create this atmosphere, this power of the ten, by which a person can then look and notice how enslaved he is by his own nature, the extent to which he only serves himself and how he has no chance of ever escaping this. When he feels that, it means that he's in the exile of Egypt.
Yeah, and the fact that he is incarcerated, it's the Creator who did it to him. And he comes with Moses to Pharaoh and uses, in order to use the substance or matter that is revealed in order to bestow.
The exile of Egypt is when one wants to bestow and doesn't expect to feel any satisfaction in his will to receive, but still he feels resistance. The desire doesn't, he hasn't the power to act it out, and this generates a request for the Creator.
Rob, what's the difference between Pharaoh and Moses and the 7 years of satiation and the 7 years of hunger? Again, what's the difference between Pharaoh and the Creator and the 7 years of satiation and the 7 years of hunger?
In the 7 years of satiation, of plenty, he feels a taste in the work, that by the work you connect to the Creator. And in the 7 years of hunger, you feel a lack of taste, a lack of flavor. You still feel the gap, the inability to bestow.
The satiation is that you live in a state that Pharaoh is enough, and that Pharaoh is the essence, and that if I fill my ego, then I'll be glad, and everything's going to be fine. And then in the 7 years of satiation, everything flips upside down. And then in the 7 years of hunger, everything flips upside down. I find out that it's the will to receive, to delight myself, and it shows me the true disparity of form.
Yes, the 7 years of satiation, it's a state where, I'm not just describing it roughly, the Pharaoh and the person is the same thing. He works, the Creator. He thinks he works for the Creator, he's actually working for Pharaoh, but when he starts discovering this, and still to continue with the work, it means he's starting to work in the 7 years of hunger.
Yeah, in the 7 years of satiation, it's like it splits, and Pharaoh is bad, and we cry out to the Creator, and we understand that the will to receive will not receive anything as a result, and that we have to run away from it, we have to escape it, and the only one that can help us in this respect is the Creator.
Love. There's no difference between the Pharaoh and the Creator other than the concealment. Yes? How do I, every time, need to connect to superimpose, it's called, right? Superimpose these two characters in order to reach there is none else besides him, good and benevolent. I said everything.
I have to agree with the concealment given to me by Pharaoh and really see it as a present given by the Creator. And if the tastelessness that Pharaoh gives me, I agree with it, then by that, I'm free and can continue working in order to bestow.
We need to look towards that point which isn't that, this or that. It's something more distant. This point is the cross,
the cross sites
and the Creator. We need to look through the society and see that.
This is what we talked about in the beginning of the lesson, that the Arvut, it brings the light. And when I get that along with it, I get the awakening for the Creator given to me by the group, and then these forces support the advancement.
Very true, and that's why we can't superimpose the Creator upon the Pharaoh without the group, without the ten, without the friends. There's no possibility of superimposing them.
In the ten, we first of all see Pharaoh, and then we discover that this is the place where Egypt turns into Israel. Where
Rav. So what does the Torah tell us? How a man succeeds or fails in superimposing, in connecting these two characters, the Pharaoh and the Creator, in each and every state, in every degree of the 125 degrees. What does the Torah tell us then? The measure of success, the measure of failure, things which are mandatory for us to, that we have to go through, what Moses went through. It's clear that every moment one must determine that it's a state of there's none else besides him, good and benevolent, between these two opposites, right? The will to receive and the will to bestow. So what does the Torah tell us? What a combination between the two, or a connection between the two, some result, outcome of the two. Please.
It tells how every time a person succeeds in crossing the Creator in the Ten, and then he sees that he falls out of the wilder into the darkness, and again, and he connects, and again, and so on.
He tells us everything. How we reach success in the right direction.
The Torah tells about the journey that a person goes through in receiving the light and correcting the desire, correction through connection. And the result is that Pharaoh and the Creator lead us to the exodus from Egypt and through the desert into Israel.
It came to me that the result of between the Creator and Pharaoh is Moses. He's the result. He ties them together, he mediates between them. Perhaps this is the direction, this our inner point, which we can awaken and which will pull us forward, indeed.
I think that between us, we need to discover this thing. This is where they unite us, one thing. This is what we discover in our connection.
The Pharaoh and the Creator connect into one on the condition that I don't expect to receive the Creator as if it is a prize for the will to receive, but instead I understand that the Pharaoh is a servant of the Creator, which is now helping me to aim correctly towards the spiritual vessel, which is within the ten.
This revelation is done by the Torah. It's the same way, the same method to understand and acquire all of these discernments.
Yes. All of these forces of Pharaoh and the Creator, they as if advance us, push us forward to within those 125 degrees. They make sure that there's not only one force at every time, but that there's always an opposite force which enables scrutiny, and out of that scrutiny, the advancement of the will, of the intention.
The ability to differentiate these states in advance, it's only to the extent to which we build the point of connection of Moses between us that constantly helps us to delve into the adventure called life, in which we scrutinize the discernments between Pharaoh and the Creator and this and that, and changes all the time. So we have to facilitate this force allowing the work.
We take the vessels from Egypt, and perhaps with that we build the temple.
Eventually, it too, the Torah, this force which allows to overcome Pharaoh, because man, per se, regardless of how much knowledge he'll have, he won't be able to overcome the concealment unless he will have some kind of an aiding force called Torah.
The Torah is, it's how the Creator clothes in our vessels, in the vessels of the created beings. The Torah is the light.
Torah is the revelation of the Creator for the advancement of the creature. That the creature is performing certain actions to change the desire, that will change the intention and so on, and the Creator, through that, reveals Himself.
The Torah gives us the power to begin to bestow without revoking the concealment. It gives us the option, the possibility to work in the darkness for the will to receive, but in some new space, which is the connection in the ten, which is aimed only at the revelation of bestowal.
Connecting everything to one thing, the good, the bad, the concealment, the this, the that, the way to the create, to connect them, everything's revealed there.
The ten is the vessel which can connect all of this story from the Pharaoh to the temple into one. And then we see how the Pharaoh and the Creator unite and work one opposite the other as an aid against one another.
Yeah, because the Creator against the ten, and Pharaoh against the ten, and all the story, it's all against those discernments that we have and the work between us. And we have to all the time renew the Torah between us.
By us conducting such workshops, opening the scriptures and discussing them, we see that this is the way to reveal the Pharaoh, the Creator, to discover them. It's our way of transcending our indifference and our daily routine of Beito in its time and towards Hishena, hastening these states.
Torah allows us to ask for the friends despite the demand of the will to receive for a good feeling, to feel good. And this is permitted by the Arvut, that when all the friends do this, then every friend has the strength. Because it comes through, because the Torah comes through the ten, each and every friend has the ability to overcome.
We study, we learn the Torah only when we are in avut between us. The people of Israel aren't worthy of receiving the Torah before, I don't exactly remember the quote, but before they're in avut. When they're in avut, they're aimed towards one another,